In the Canadian justice system, animals' interests are rarely represented, but the lawyers at Animal Justice fight to give them a voice in court and the political system. This is the Paw & Order Podcast, and these are their stories.
Welcome to episode one. Very excited. It's weird to even say episode one, but episode one of the Paw and Order podcast. I'm Peter Sankoff, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Camille Lapchuk. Hey, Camille.
Welcome.
We are excited for everybody who is tuning in today. We are launching a brand new endeavor, and we've called it with the help and assistance of our friends out there in the cyberspace world, Paw and Order.
I love the name, and I have to thank the multiple people on Twitter and Facebook who actually came up with it. I remember the day that we put this call out for names out on social media, Peter and I were actually together. And Peter, remember when that first person said it on Twitter? We're just like, oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right away. They were dinging in. I mean, there were suggestions flying of all sorts, and there were some other really good suggestions. One day we'll dig back, maybe at the 1 year anniversary. Hopefully we make it that long, and we will dig back on all the alternate names we could have had. But for now, you know, it seems like a distraction to talk about anything other than the Paw & Order podcast, which we are excited to bring to you for the very first time. We are doing this through the miracle of cyber networking, where I am here today. I should introduce myself for those of you who don't know me. I am a professor of law and a lawyer at the Faculty of Law at the University of Alberta in beautiful, very sunny Edmonton, Alberta.
And I am Camille Lapchuk. I'm an animal rights lawyer and the executive director of Animal Justice. And I'm coming to you from very, very cold Ottawa, the nation's capital.
Yeah, it's cold in Ottawa today, isn't it?
Oh, it's been cold in Ottawa forever. I mean,
yeah, nice and warm here in Edmonton. I know our listeners are excited to hear about the weather in our two respective locales, but that's what we've got here as we begin our first ever discussions about animal law and animal justice. And really, those are the themes that we wish to explore in this podcast. And it sort of brings us to why we wanted to do this in the first place. And I think Camille and I have been talking about this. We have been working together on animal law related projects. I'm sure you will hear more than once about the day we went to the Supreme Court together and fought for animals in front of our highest court. And we will reminisce about that, I'm sure, as time goes on. But that's really what we wanted to do. The goal of this podcast was a chance to really inform, enlighten, and hopefully entertain occasionally people across Canada and give them a better sense of some of the issues that arise that we deal with on a day-to-day basis when we're talking about animals and the law.
Yeah, and it's exciting to me because when I first met Peter, I was still in law school. I went to the University of Toronto Faculty of Law. And when I started there in 2009 in school, the field of animal law in Canada was barely a field of law at all. There was so little going on. And just a few short years later, now we have Animal Justice, a national animal law advocacy organization working on these issues. We have other lawyers in private practice. We have other lawyers at SPCAs and other nonprofits working on these issues. And the field of legal academia around animal law is exploding as well. So we thought it was the right time to start to bring some of these questions and discussions to the masses, to maybe people who don't necessarily have legal training, but want to learn more and get engaged.
Yeah, and I have been excited about getting back into podcasting for a very, very long time. And it's a time for me to shout out to the dearly departed podcast that I ran with some friends in New Zealand when I lived there up until 2010. And we were a little too early on the podcasting track.
You were just ahead of your time.
It was crazy. We were literally one of the first podcasts, and that sounds great, but literally I think we had like six listeners, you know, because there was just nobody was really getting into podcasts. This is like, I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was around 2008 or 2009. And the idea of that podcast, it was called The V Word, and the idea was to try and bring the idea of veganism out of the shadows, especially in New Zealand at the time where it was really in the shadows. But I mean, the idea of talking about veganism was just an entry into all animal law issues and other animal justice issues. And we were a combination of lawyers and activists. We had five hosts on the panel. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. We all did it in person. So we'd all get around and come together and talk about these issues. And to be honest, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was amazing. It was a lot of fun to do. The problem was back in those days, of course, it wasn't so easy to put them together. The editing was time consuming. And to be perfectly blunt, the guy who was organizing it, he had a child. I don't know why he did that, but he had a child. He had a child. I had a child too at the same time, but I wasn't organizing the podcast. So it wasn't that big a deal for me. But he had a child and it was just too hard to put it all together with the six listeners. And let me say, our six listeners were devastated.
Oh, I bet they were heartbroken.
They were heartbroken.
No more witty banter about New Zealand veganism.
Exactly. And New Zealand animal law issues. But we did about 12 episodes and it was an absolute blast. I had a lot of fun with it. And obviously it's exciting to get back into it now. Some of you who listen to this may know, I occasionally guest in on another wonderful legal podcast. I'm going to shout out. I don't even know if they're our friends, but I'm going to call them the Friends of the Paw and Order podcast, Michael Spratt and Emily Tammen. Because I've guested there a couple of times. It's just whet my appetite more for, to get back on to the air.
Well, and if any of our listeners want to check them out, they run a wonderful podcast called The Docket, which focuses on Canadian legal issues, mostly criminal issues, but really anything in the news. And they're both brilliant, interesting lawyers. And they've had Peter on a number of times.
Yeah, and I've spoken about animal justice issues. And in fact, I believe I advertised this podcast before it had gone on the air. So it was, yeah, we're definitely happy to support our friends over at The Docket. But we should also note, Camille, I have it in my show notes for today, that we've talked a little bit about ourselves and why we want to get into this because we, interact with these issues on a daily basis. And I think we have a fair bit of familiarity of the legal concerns, questions, and issues confronting animals today. But we do this, or both of us do this, certainly you to a greater extent, through a wonderful organization called Animal Justice. So why don't you tell us a bit about Animal Justice to get us started.
Great. Well, Animal Justice is Canada's only legal organization focused on animals in Canada, which is really exciting. And actually, we're approaching our 10-year anniversary. 2018 marks the 10th year since Animal Justice was founded. And the group was founded by my friend and colleague, Nick Wright. He is now the chair of the Animal Justice Board and still contributes a lot to the organization. And back 10 years ago, he looked around and saw, well, there's no organization in Canada doing any legal work on behalf of animals. And when you compare that, say, to the United States, there's a great group down there called the Animal Legal Defense Fund that has been doing that work for decades at this point, and legal departments within other nonprofits as well. So there was a big sort of hole in the Canadian animal rights field that lawyers thought that they could fill. So Animal Justice got going. Actually, at that point, it wasn't called Animal Justice. We used to be known as Lawyers for Animal Welfare. So for a number of years, the group was pretty small.
I had completely forgotten about that.
I know.
I think I had wiped that out of my memory.
Well, it's been such a long time. Like, I think we changed the name in 2011. I was a summer student in 2011.
Good idea, by the way.
Yeah, Animal Justice is more universal.
I just think it's a better name. I think Lawyers for Animal has the cute acronym, but it's also like a... It's kind of a confusing acronym if you think about it. And of course, it has that animal welfare part in there, which I think limits what you're trying to get across. But anyway, sorry to interrupt. I had completely forgotten about Lawyers for Animal Welfare.
Sometimes I forget too. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have the animal welfare versus rights discussion at some point on this podcast. We'll save that for another day. But Animal Justice is a more universal name. And I worked at Animal Justice as a summer student back when it was still Lawyers for Animal Welfare in 2011. And I think at that point, the budget of the entire organization for the whole year was a few thousand dollars. And things really started to pick up, I'd say, in 2012. We started getting involved in our first court cases. We got some funding to do some reports and started to do some more interesting work. And since then, the organization has just exploded. We did our first ever intervention in an actual court case. And the fall of 2015, Peter and I went to the Supreme Court. We've worked on a lot of...
I think that may have come up already, Camille, or it may come up again.
It may come up every episode. It was my career highlight.
I think we'll talk about that. at some point we're going to have our greatest moments. It's like, it's actually, I don't know if the better moment was actually going there or the day like the leave intervention was granted and we saw it come through. Anyway, sorry, I'm doing it already. We're talking about
this is going to happen a lot. Sorry, guys. But we've had a few interventions since then. We've been involved in a lot of successful legislative attempts at many levels of government. And we're a national voice in the news on animal law issues when they come up. We make sure that the media has someone to go to discuss and to explain animal law issues. And I think that the field has just exploded in recent years. These issues are in the news every single day, every single week. And a decade ago, they weren't. So we're seeing something exciting happening right now. And I hope this podcast helps bring some of that excitement to the masses.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out, I have no doubt, I don't want to jump all over the episode that I'm sure we're going to do that will talk about the 10 years of animal justice. That'll probably be sometime closer to the 10-year anniversary of animal justice. But I do want to say that it's really important to point out how difficult it is to get going off the ground. I know that from my own experience when I was part of a group in New Zealand, the also dearly departed ARLAN, which was the Animal Rights Legal Advocacy Network. And it was an amazing group of people who really wanted to do something special. And we were unable to get it going into a functional organization. And I think people underestimate, and maybe they don't, but anybody who's worked with NGOs, non-governmental organizations, knows that when you are trying to get off the ground, there are, Camille, how many small animal groups with an under $5,000 budget do you think there are in Canada? I mean, I've met people from like, I don't know, 50 of these groups. Like there's just tons of them. Am I crazy?
No, I think you're right. And I think that they pop up often and are active for a couple of years, but then fade away because volunteers get burned out.
It's the burnout. Yeah.
Yeah. Burnout's a huge problem in this field. And many organizations are run by really well-meaning, dedicated volunteers who do this in their free time. They don't get paid for their work. And sometimes that becomes unsustainable. Life events get in the way or you burn out of doing that really important work and just sort of fade away. So yeah, you're right, Peter. I think it's important to, you know, reflect on how difficult it is to have gotten to where we are today and appreciate what we've managed to do together.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really important. I have made that a cardinal principle, which I'm sure will come up many times going forward in terms of if you are going to work in animal law, if you decided to make this part of your career, and I've been doing this, believe it or not, for 18 years now, if you're going to be doing this, you have got to reflect and glorify your successes because those successes will always pale in comparison to the failures that are going on for animals, which will be a running theme of this show. It's just the reality is that the moment in time in which we live in, Camille, are we allowed to swear on this show? I haven't figured that out yet.
I don't think the CRTC regulates podcasts.
I don't think
Peter,
we
so
have
go for
set
it.
Out the ground rules of this podcast, but I'm going to try and restrain it because I'd like to hope that my own kids will eventually listen to this. I'm going to try to say it, but I was going to say, like, the law governing animals, I mean, it will be no surprise, is really geared not to favor animals. That's as nicely as I can put it. It's set up in a way that is really favorable of the human interest over animals, and we'll discuss that at length as to why that is. But the point is, if you're going to lose so badly, as often as we are, you have got to reflect and you've got to remember the successes and you've got to look back at where you've come from. And I think this podcast is really, for me, just another milestone. We would not have had the ability to do this podcast even a few years ago. I think technologically it would have been more challenging, but I also think that, you know, we weren't placed in the right places to be able to devote the time, energy, and commitment to promote this. And I think that's what's going to make, hopefully, this podcast successful. You know, in addition to it just being darn good. But I think we have the ability now to get it in the hands of the people who want to listen to it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that there's way more interest in animal law issues than there was before. And that if you tried to do this a decade ago, people just wouldn't care. There wasn't enough media attention paid to these issues. There weren't enough people talking about them. But things have really changed. And I think that we're ripe for having this discussion.
Yeah. So I mean, all of this is to essentially whet your appetite, because today's podcast is really about this. It's about introducing each other, explaining a little bit about animal justice and what we hope to do going forward. But I mean, we're going to save the actual animal law related discussion, which we will delve into in great detail for our next podcast to come. Today, we're really trying to introduce you in, but I can tell you we've got some features that we hope to do in this podcast going forward. We certainly want to talk, and we're certainly going to have issues that we want to discuss, but we also hope to get into some regular features going forward. So I think this is a pretty good place for us to move on to what we think will be our main topic of the day today, which is the Paw and Order podcast. And we want to give you a little bit of a flavor and a little introduction into what we are planning to do. It's going to be special, isn't it, Camille?
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, the goal is a mixture of introduced topics and a discussion of relevant issues that are arising. And what we have noticed that sort of got us excited about doing this podcast is how many animal law issues are popping up. I mean, in the last year alone, Camille, what would you say make your top five? It's crazy.
Oh my God, I could do the top 20, but one issue that dominated the headlines pretty much all year long, because there were so many continuing trial dates for it, was Anita Crines and the pig trial. The woman, of course, who was charged criminally with mischief for giving water to suffering pigs on their way to slaughter. And I know, Peter, you made a lot of video blogs about this case, about some of the legal issues surrounding it. I attended many of the trial dates myself and have a lot of thoughts on the case. And of course, she was acquitted, but this would have been just a fantastic thing to talk about on the podcast. So I wish we had it earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been amazing. And there are just so many others that come up, including a very recent one. If we were doing this, you know, we may even revert to it at some point. The ongoing attempt, I'm doing it again, I'm going back to our Supreme Court case, but the ongoing attempt to revisit the Supreme Court's ruling that allows animals to be used for sexual purposes because the Canadian government has not closed that loophole, and the recent attempt to amend this through a private member's bill being brought by Conservative Michelle Rempel.
That's right. And that, for any keen listeners who want to look it up and haven't already, it's the case of the Queen and DLW, one of the very few Supreme Court cases that top court has ever considered involving animals. It's the one we intervened in. And of course, they said that anything short of penetrative sexual conduct with animals is not prohibited under current bestiality laws. So as Peter mentioned, MP Michelle Rempel, who's a conservative and a wonderful champion for animals and humans alike, has put forward a private member's bill on that topic. So we may delve into that at some point.
Yeah, it's just occurred to me that our listeners are going to love listening to us talk about all the topics we're not talking about today. Like, great job, guys.
If you're especially keen to hear about any of them, drop us a note and let us know, and we'll talk about them at some point.
Yeah, in fairness, you can go to my website and look up the Anita Crines trial. I've got like at least three videos on that. So like, we have covered some of these topics before in other media. So yeah, that's definitely what we want to do. And occasionally we'll just set up various topics ourselves because there are just things that need to be discussed. So for example, we brought up earlier the welfare versus rights discussion and what it means and what people think about it and where people stand on it. And that's a ripe topic for discussion, even though it doesn't necessarily link into any current event. And there are many, many others. I teach a course. As we are recording this, I have started my course on animals and the law at the University of Alberta, and I will undoubtedly be reporting back from that from time to time, because there are, again, just I've had to adapt my syllabus on the fly just because new things keep popping up as we're going on. There is just a treasure trove of animal law issues out there to be discussed.
Yeah, one, again, I'm going to give you a teaser for something we're not actually going to discuss today, but the...
Good job, Camille.
You're welcome, listeners. The NFAC codes are another topic ripe for discussion. Many of you know what those are already. Many of you don't, but you'll learn about them. But they're these voluntary, non-binding industry sort of set rules, but they're not really rules because they're not binding, that govern the use of farmed animals in Canada. And that's been a huge debate. Peter's done a lot of work on this, and they come up a lot, and I think will be coming up even more in the years ahead in this field.
National Farm Animal Care Council, Camille. We have to be careful with the jargon for our listeners. National, that is NFAC, as it's known amongst friends and enemies alike. NFAC, National Farm Animal Care Council. Yes, that's going to be a big one, maybe a two-part episode. We certainly anticipate having guests. We're very lucky, both of us, in that we get to interact with some amazing people doing some amazing work in this field, whether we're at a conference or it's something else. And I'm hoping that whether we have them as a full guest on the podcast or perhaps record short interviews with them, maybe 10, 15-minute interviews that we can integrate into the podcast one way or another, I really hope we can branch out and get some other people here because, you know, it's going to be boring just listening to us all the time. So it'd be good to get some other voices on there as well.
Yeah, and it's exciting because there are quite a few lawyers doing a substantial amount of work in this field these days. You know, I can think of a dozen right off the top of my head who would be excellent guests on this podcast. So I do expect we'll hear a lot from them. Another segment that we're going to feature every week is one that we're calling Heroes and Zeros, which is kind of self-explanatory, but we're going to choose some heroes for animals from the weeks before we record the episode and some zeros. So who did something really great for animals? Where are the victories that we're seeing coming up recently? And on the flip side of the coin, who has been in the news for the wrong reasons? What farm was caught abusing animals? Which aquarium has filed a new lawsuit to try to keep whales and dolphins in captivity? Which senator?
What politician is opposing sensible amendments to the criminal code? Who could it be?
Entire episodes on politicians being zeros, but we'll wait for that. Yeah,
I should say, in fairness, in case again any of any of our six listeners from New Zealand are listening to this podcast, Heroes and Zeros. I had to. It's like we're paying homage to our old V Word podcast because that was a regular feature, and we liked it so much that we're gonna. Well, we're not stealing it because the podcast doesn't exist anymore. We're going to borrow it with reverence to our old friends over in New Zealand.
Yes, very respectfully. And if listeners have suggestions, you know, tweet us the suggestions, drop us an email. I'm sure that we'll see them in the news, but maybe you catch something that we don't.
Absolutely. I'm sure there will be times we will be desperate. It's usually they select themselves, but I will remember there was one or two where we really struggled to find one. So we may like float it out on the Animal Justice Facebook page. Can you think of any contemporary heroes and zeros for this week? We'd really appreciate it. Our other segment is going to be a Q&A segment. We'd really like to address questions from listeners. And luckily we have access to thousands and thousands of supporters from our various websites, including, of course, I think it's the Facebook page that's the largest. Is that correct, Camille?
Yeah, Facebook is really great for engaging with people. And we've started doing over the last 6 months or so lots of live Q&A sessions on Facebook, which has just been a ton of fun. I've done a few of them. My colleague Anna Pippas, our director of farmed animal advocacy, she's done a few of them. And we've just really enjoyed being able to engage with people live on those issues. So we thought, well, why not have a Q&A on the podcast as well? It gives us a chance to do a bit more research sometimes and go a little bit more in depth on some of the questions that you have, and lets us, of course, figure out common themes as well. So if we're getting a lot of questions on a particular issue, maybe we should devote an entire episode to it.
Absolutely. And of course, you can question, follow up on things we might have said in the last episode or bring up something entirely new. You know, anything goes.
Or tell us that we're wrong.
That too. That shouldn't happen, Camille. But that too. We're definitely open to criticism.
I know you've never been wrong about anything, Peter. But
That's correct. Well, very excited. Obviously, we think it's a really full and exciting platform. And honestly, we hope you enjoy it. Please let us know either way, whether you have questions or not. We're hoping to get your feedback on how we're doing with the podcast. So that I think that about covers it for our main topic for today, the Paw and Order podcast.
Yeah, and I guess the only other thing is that we're aiming to release a podcast every 2 weeks. Don't maybe hold us to this promise too strictly in the beginning because it might be more work than we thought that it would be, but that's our goal. So you can expect to hear from us every couple of weeks. All right, welcome to our very first Heroes and Zeros segment where we call out some really great things that have been happening for animals recently and some really bad things. So Peter, who is our hero this episode?
Well, it's always weird to give a hero to a government itself, like a government, right? It just seems weird given how poor so many of the laws governing animals are. But I like to call out governments that are doing the right thing. And this may seem an unusual one, but we're giving our hero of the week to the state of Illinois, because the state of Illinois has enacted a new state law. And this law allows judges in divorce proceedings to consider the well-being of companion animals in deciding questions of sole or joint ownership, or as we like to say, custody of the animal, though of course the law doesn't actually use the word custody. But I think this is a pretty amazing thing. They're not the first state to do this, but nonetheless, these laws are very positive for animals overall.
And if my memory serves, I think Alaska did something similar last year, and they may have been the first. But this is something that's it's becoming an increasing problem as people separate and think of their pets as family members and not just as property that needs to be divided. So bravo to Illinois for making this step.
Yeah, I think this is something we'll talk about in a future episode. I'd like to really dig into the issue, but I just want to highlight that this is a really important law in two very important senses. The first is, obviously, it actually helps the animals who are in these situations and does so in a way by recognizing, you know, that the animal should go in the place where it's going to be cared for in the best way. But I think the real significance of this law is nothing to do with the individual animals that are affected by it. Normalization of animal interests in the courts requires that we start to portray animals in situations where they are more than property. And this law doesn't really affect the property status of animals in a sense, but it does recognize that animals are a special kind of property. And the idea is that we need to get out of this idea of who owns the animal and think more about its best interests. Well, whenever we're thinking about the best interests of an animal, that is only a good thing. And the more that the law starts to recognize these sorts of things, the better.
A definite win.
Absolutely. So, Camille, for every hero, there's a zero.
Sometimes it can be hard to choose just one zero. And in fact,
it was hard. It was hard this week.
It was really hard. So
we should have like the alternate. Maybe we should. Should we throw out the alternates, the honorable mention zeros?
They're some runner up zeros. Yeah, perhaps we should. Who were they again?
There were several. We were going to go with Jason Kenney for his comments about the environment and vegans. We were tempted, sorely tempted by Marineland because of the lawsuit rebuttal that came back from the OSPCA talking about Marineland's lawsuit against the OSPCA for malicious prosecution. We had some things to say about that, but I think we'll save that for a future episode.
For this week, we're going with barn fires and particularly the government response to barn fires, which has been sorely lacking. So if you've been paying at all attention to the news lately, you will have seen that there have been a number of barn fires across the country. There was one in Ontario that killed 1,800 pigs. They burned alive in a farm. That same morning or just the next day, a number of birds, chickens were killed in a barn fire. Three horses were killed in Winnipeg, along with one cat. And it's an epidemic that rears its ugly head every single winter. The reason that there's so many barn fires, it's not complicated. Barns require heating. There's electrical equipment. It's a highly corrosive environment. There's flammable gases being emitted from animal waste. And what we want to focus on is calling out the government for being a zero, because they have not updated the National Farm Building Code to require sprinklers and to house electrical equipment separately. There's a lot of measures that could be taken, but governments have not done so. And this is a real problem, and that's why we're saying that they're the zeros of the week. But Peter, we've struggled a little bit just trying to decide whether it should be the government or industry or individual farmers that should be the zero, because they all have some blame lying at their feet.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just given it a big joint zero to all those responsible for barn fires and failing to even attempt to create protective measures in law that will help the most vulnerable creatures in our society. I mean, we lock them up in barns. We lock up thousands of them. This is really pick your barn fire, right, Camille? Because you've got the pigs, you've got chickens, you've got cows. They're all dying in these massive barn fires because, of course, there's no escape route. There's no way out. And there is no legislative requirement to create measures that will, you know, alleviate, prevent, stop these barn fires when they start.
That's right. And you touched on it, but one of the huge tragedy of these fires is that there's often no practical way to rescue animals from them. There's no transport trucks that are typically just waiting for fires to help get animals out. It's not like there's any other burn that they can easily be transported to. And many of them are locked in gestation crates if they're pigs or sow stalls or chickens housed in battery cages. So they can't even run away from the flames. They just literally burn alive in places where they are already. So it's a real tragedy. Government response has been sorely lacking. The industry hasn't led on this either. And I'm sure we'll talk about this again in a future episode because it's bound to happen again many more times this winter.
Yeah, I have a literal file of cases when the numbers are always horrifying. They're always thousands of animals. And it's just the most terrifying thing to read about. And the fact that the legislative response has been so deafening makes this, in my opinion, a very worthy episode 10. I guess we're talking about all legislators, but I think in this case, this particular one was in Ontario, although I guess it does occur elsewhere. So I guess it's the collective provincial governments. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. They all play a role in this, and the failure to update building codes for farms is a huge issue.
All right, let's move on to our Q&A segment of the podcast. And we're looking forward to this Q&A. It's a chance for us to interact with some of our listeners. We don't have any listeners yet, but we do have Facebook followers. So we were able to get a bunch of questions on Facebook and Twitter. And let me just say for all the people who sent in questions this week, we were trying really to focus on questions this week that were about the podcast, because essentially the theme of this podcast is the podcast. It's our first one, and we wanted to talk about that. So a lot of people sent in substantive questions, and I promise you we will get to some of those in future shows. But for today, we're going to focus on the Q&As about the podcast, and there were too many for us to answer all of them. So we're going to focus on five questions we've selected about our new Paw and Order podcast.
All right. So the first question that we got is from Dwayne Robbie, and Dwayne is asking, what are the podcast goals for the next year, and what do you hope to achieve with the new podcast? Well, we've touched on that a little bit already. We've talked about some of the issues we want to be able to explain to people in plain legal terms. But Peter, why don't you expand on that a little?
Well, my podcast goals, what do I hope to achieve? Fame, fortune, notoriety, you know, a podcasting award. We're looking for the big things. No, more seriously, what are the podcast goals? God, I'd be really excited if we can get some outreach and get people listening to what we're doing. Because to me, that's the biggest and easiest marker of success. Like, I'll know that we're doing good things if we continue to get positive feedback from listeners and we're able to get more people listening to what we're doing. So to me, that is the biggest goal for the podcast for the first year, doing a good job, easing into what we're doing, and really discussing some important issues. But in the larger frame, I think, what do I hope to achieve with this new podcast? I hope we hope to achieve a lot. I really want to get some of these issues exposed in a way that's meaningful. And I think what Camille and I thought was so important about doing this in the first place was recognizing that too many animal law issues just slip under the radar and disappear. And we don't want that to happen. We want to have a place where we can discuss issues, bring them to light, try and inform the public about what they need to know and why they're not really thinking about the right things when it comes to animal law. So pretty ambitious goals, I think. What about you, Camille?
Well, I also hope that we reach a new audience. Sometimes if you write a lengthy law review paper and it gets published in a legal journal and it explains really well a case or a legal issue, you get about 10 readers for that article. And I think that we have the potential to reach so many more people with this podcast and explain to them in lay people terms and language that we can all understand what the legal issues are affecting animals and how we can all play a role in improving the situation.
Well put, well put. Let's move on to question two. So I apologize in advance. Of course, I get the tough one. I hope I don't butcher your name. It's from Hedda Hash. So apologies in advance, Hedda, if I've got that wrong. Will you be interviewing others on the podcast? It'd be wonderful to have people, here we go again, like Anita Crines, I hope I get that one right, and James Aspie when available, so that we can share the podcast with others who may have questions. I think it will help them understand what's really happening and help them make a connection. What about that one, Camille?
Well, definitely. We already, I think, mentioned during the intro and the previous discussion about this new podcast that we do want to have guests on. They won't be on every week, but we think it would really add a richness to the discussion to have somebody like Anita Crines come and talk about her trial and talk about what motivated her to do her activism and what her experience was like going through the legal system in the first place. So I'm really excited to start having guests on, and we welcome suggestions.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a combination of guests and interviews. Like, I see them as slightly different. I think it's going to be common for us to do both. Like, sometimes we'll have a guest on to run through the whole podcast, and that'll be amazing. And I think other times what we'll do is, like, I run into a lot of people in the animal law world, and so does Camille. And I think it would be fun to just do short recordings and sort of integrate them into the podcast. So perhaps interview them or have a discussion with somebody for like 5-10 minutes and put that in instead of, you know, always requiring the person to come in and do a full podcast. Because sometimes it's just, you know, it's easier to get somebody for 5 minutes than 45, and it's a big commitment. So I hope we can integrate other voices in a lot of different ways.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Okay, next question is from Eric McFarland. Hi, Eric. And Eric's wondering, will you be discussing international animal law issues or just Canadian animal law issues? And the answer is definitely both. We think that international cases really add a lot of perspective to what we deal with here in Canada. And there's also so many similarities between our legal system, of course, and the legal system in other countries. And many of the issues affecting animals are identical across countries. So, and you may have noticed this week, of course, that we did our hero segment on an international issue on Illinois and pet custody laws. So the answer is yes.
Absolutely. Big fat yes. So Camille, who is, this is from Hillary Wood, who is the intended audience for the podcast? New vegans, longtime vegans, non-vegans?
I hope that we can reach a lot of different people. I think that people who are already vegans or animal activists are obviously going to have a stake in this podcast and be keen to hear about some of these issues from the legal perspective. But I also, Peter, I think you share this idea with me, really hope that we can reach people in the existing legal establishment community. There's, for instance, some other really cool legal podcasters, and I think that reaching them and reaching their audiences would be neat. Animal law cuts across a number of disciplines. There's the animal aspect to it, of course, but there's the legal aspect as well. There's the political aspect. So I really hope that we reach all kinds of non-traditional audiences and that we aren't just preaching to the converted.
Yeah, to me, this is the biggest challenge, actually. It's not so much the reach issue. It's the question of how do we put our podcast out in a way that sort of reaches all the various target groups? And I think that's sort of challenging sometimes. And it's going to be a challenge for Camille and I to sort of do this in a way that doesn't, you know, it's, you're balancing, like, you want to speak in jargon because it's a lot easier and quicker, but you also want to make it explainable and understandable to the non-vegan, the non-listener. How much background fact do we put in? Like, where do we include things? I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for us going forward, is sort of making sure that we do this in a way that it's accessible and interesting to everybody. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure that's always possible. I think, you know, there will be times when we say things that are obvious to some and not obvious to others, and some things need to be defined. And we're going to be trying our best to sort of skate along those various lines. And I think that's a big challenge, but I think it's one we're up for, that's for sure.
I think so. And I also hope that listeners will provide feedback. If you had a hard time understanding or following one of our discussions, let us know and we'll see if we can simplify it in the future. Or maybe if you thought we dumbed things down too much, let us know and we'll see if we can strike that right balance.
We cater to our customers.
We're here to serve. So the last question is from Sarah Harvey, and Sarah is wondering, what jurisprudence or philosophical lens will the podcast be presenting from? And will you be hosting and interviewing and presenting and people and ideas that differ or are in direct conflict with our perspective? And that's an interesting question. I think, do you want to start this one, Peter? I know that you have your particular.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind jumping in. I mean, I, it's interesting that, like, so I had my first animal law class today and I was teaching with some of my students, and I start off, and one of the things I say to them when I'm starting is I don't try to hide behind my perspective. I don't try to hide behind some wall and say, I'm this neutral observer and I'm going to present everything from all sides. I prefer to tell them where I'm coming from and, you know, and have us discuss what's going on. So, like, the way I say it is that when I come forward on a philosophical issue, I'm critical of the legal establishment and what the governments have done, and the Canadian public for that matter, has done to protect animals through the law. So I approach this from a very critical angle. And certainly in terms of, you know, we'll get into undoubtedly interesting questions about welfare and whether it advances things for animals, or whether a rights perspective is better, an abolitionist perspective. We'll get into those, and I think we'll present all those different views and hopefully be able to explore them. So, I mean, my hope is that to a certain extent, I mean, our perspectives come from a certain viewpoint, and we will be presenting from those perspectives. I will be telling you why I think the laws governing animals in this country suck. Like, that's what I'll be telling you, because I believe that to be true. And I will be explaining to you why I believe that to be true and why I don't think we do enough to protect animals. But we will certainly be, from time to time, inviting on people from other perspectives who will, you know, I think part of the beauty of this is sometimes where we have debates. And there are some issues on which Camille and I disagree, even though we generally come from the same perspective. There are legitimate areas of disagreement between us, and I think we should have those out. That's part of a healthy debate.
I think debates make things way more interesting. Wouldn't the world be boring if we all agreed on everything? So I agree with you, Peter, on mostly all of that. And I would add that my perspective, and I believe yours as well, and certainly animal justice's perspective, is that we are unapologetically in favor of animal protection. We're not here for half measures. We're not here to appease people. We're here to be the voice of the animals. And that's the perspective I always hope that we're going to be bringing to this podcast and evaluating tactics by other organizations, strategies by governments, proposed legislation from the perspective of, does this advance animals and their protections?
Absolutely. Thanks for those awesome questions. That was a really good kickoff to this segment. And we're looking forward to doing more of it going forward.
Can't wait.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning in today.
You can subscribe to the Pod in Order podcast using iTunes, Stitcher, or any other favorite podcatcher. And we encourage you to leave a rating as well if you like what you hear.
And please, to all our listeners, please share our podcast on social media so other listeners can learn about it and listen to it. If you enjoyed today's Pod in Order podcast, please consider making a donation to Animal Justice, which makes all of this possible. You can find me on Twitter at Peter Sankoff or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Professor Sankoff. Also, you can visit my website to watch some of my videos on animal law at petersankoff.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at Camille Labchuk, that's Labchuk. And you can find Animal Justice on Twitter at Animal Justice. We're on Facebook as well, and Instagram, and all the other social platforms. We always enjoy having Twitter convos about the show or any other animal law or political topics, so please check us out.
And thanks to our producer, Shannon Milling, for the technical stuff that makes this come together. Thanks, everybody, and have a great day.